Chapter 3. John Durbeyfield had never been a hard worker, and without Prince to pull the wagon, he didn't want to work at all. Tess continued to blame herself for the family's poverty and tried to think of ways to help them. One day, Joan Durbeyfield made a suggestion. "Perhaps our noble blood can help us to solve our problems. Do you remember the very rich woman, Mrs. Durbeyfield, who lives near Trantridge on the edge of the forest? She is probably a relation. You must go and introduce yourself as a relative. I'm sure you can persuade her to help us. You never know what might happen," she said. In her heart, she had not given up the idea of Tess marrying a rich man. "I'd prefer to get work," murmured Tess. "What do you say about it, John?" Joan asked her husband.
"I don't want my children to ask for help from strangers, even if they are relations. I'm the head of the oldest family in the district, and I ought to take care of them," John answered.
Tess was not able to find work, and eventually she began to reconsider her mother's plan. "Well, I suppose I ought to do something to help because I'm the one who killed the horse," she said one day. "I'll go and see that woman, but I can't promise that I will ask her for help. And don't think she will find me a gentleman for a husband. That's silly."
"Tess, where did you get that idea?" asked Joan.
"I know it's on your mind, Mother, but I'll go," answered Tess. In the morning, Tess walked to the town of Shaston, which was on the hill above Marlott, and then continued by wagon to Trantridge. From Trantridge, she walked up a hill and then stood in amazement when she saw the Durbeyfield house. It was a large red building with greenhouses, gardens, and a small farm.
"I thought we were an old family," Tess said to herself, "but all this is new."
As Tess stood looking at the house, a tall man in his mid-twenties walked into the garden. He had a black moustache with curled ends above a mouth with full red lips. He was smoking a cigar.
"Well, my beauty, what can I do for you?"
he said, coming forward to meet the confused Tess.
"I am Alex Stoke Durbeyfield. Have you come to see me or to see my mother?"
Tess had expected to see an old lady. This handsome young man made her very nervous.
"I've come to see your mother, sir," she finally managed to say.
"I'm sorry, that's impossible. You can't see her. She is old and blind. Perhaps I can help you. What do you want to see her about?" replied Alec.
"This is all very embarrassing. Mother asked me to come. We have the same name. I mean, we are from the same family," said Tess.
"Oh, poor relations," exclaimed Alec. "Are you Stokes?"
"No, Durbeyfields," answered Tess. "Our name is now Durbeyfield, but historians tell us that we are the oldest branch of the family. We have a very old seal and a silver spoon marked with a castle. Mother uses it to stir the soup."
"There is certainly a castle in the crest of my house," lied Alec.
His father had simply added the ancient name of Durbeyfield to his own name of Stoke when they moved into the district from the north. He thought that it would make the family more respected if they seemed to have a connection with an old family in the district.
"Mother said I should introduce myself to you because we have lost our horse in an accident," Tess continued.
"It is very kind of your mother, and I don't regret that you have come on a friendly visit," he said, looking at Tess in such a direct way that the innocent young girl blushed pink. "Let's walk around the gardens until you have to go home, cousin."
They walked towards the greenhouses.
"Do you like strawberries?" Alec asked, putting a large red strawberry to Tess's pretty mouth.
"I'd prefer to hold it myself," said Tess.
But Alec pressed the berry to her lips.
Tess reluctantly opened her mouth and ate the strawberry from his hand. Alec picked more strawberries to put in her basket. After that, he began to fill it with roses. When the basket was full, Alec gave Tess some more roses to put at the front of her dress. Later, He brought a basket of food out to the garden and sat smoking as he watched the beautiful young girl eat. At 16, Tess looked more mature than she really was. She had a woman's face and figure, but she did not know anything about the ways of men. It did not occur to her that she was in any danger from Alec d'Urberville. As they were walking to the road where Tess was going to catch the wagon home, Alec asked, "What's your name?" "Tess d'Urberville from Marlott," she answered simply. "I must see if we can find some way to help you," he said, putting his face next to hers. Then he stopped, looked at her, and laughed.